The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Happy Monday, everybody. Unfortunately, Carissa is out today. So Scott Tweedy is here with me and Justin. Hi, Scott.
Hey, guys. Good to be back. All black and black and black. Nice. Love it.
Oh, look at us. Mine's actually a chocolate brown, but it's fine. All right. So today, after years of slamming celebrities, Perez Hilton says he has some serious regrets, but he's also stirring up a ton of new trouble. No surprise. In his new memoir, TMI, My Life in Scandal, Perez says he regrets hurting so many people with his website, but that's not stopping him from making new claims about celebrities. According to Page Six, who got an early look at the book, Perez writes about his on-and-off friendship with Lady Gaga. He accuses her of using him to get back at her haters. He says Gaga didn't ask him to write nasty things about people, but, quote, by moaning to me, she made me feel like I, her best friend, should do something about it. He also says they stopped talking after an interview he did with her in 2011, and eventually Gaga called him a creepy stalker. It's getting good. All right, and that is not all. Perez also talks about hooking up with John Mayer in 2007 in a club. Carissa, that was for you. Years later, John did admit to kissing Perez during an interview with Playboy. We reached out to both John and Gaga for comment, but have not heard back. That was a lot to unpack, you guys. Wow. Lots of reading. Let me ask you this. Do you think Perez truly regrets saying the things that he did?
First off, are you mad that you're the only person who has not made out with John Mayer at this point?
By the way, I don't understand how this man is literally, like, every gender, and I made one small suggestion to Bob Saget, and he said he's not interested, and I said, okay, well, that's cool. Now I'm pissed about it. It's ridiculous. And now it's too late.
He doesn't discriminate. He'll go anywhere at any time, but unfortunately not for you, Morgan Stewart. That's disappointing, because now you're taking off the market.
Well, now I'm very taken. Now there's two of us, so no, literally.
You know, I feel bad for Perez Hilton because I feel like Mario is one person. He's very nice. He's very, you know, deep. And then I think Perez Hilton is the second person. And I think what happens is Perez Hilton started this website and started getting all this attention for all the nasty things that he said about celebrities. And I think what happened after that was all these other websites, you know, started popping up. And he kind of sort of created the genre.
Absolutely.
So I think people would be able to forgive them, but they wouldn't be able to forget them because he kind of was the birthplace of this nasty, snotty ass blog situation.
I mean, he definitely created a phenomenon. That's 100%. I mean, it wasn't even the nicknames. I mean, do you guys remember? I mean, Scott, I don't know if you're so familiar with Perez Hilton because you were in Australia, I'm sure, but like,
no,
do you remember the drawings?
He was big down under. We loved him.
The drawings on the mouth, do you guys remember? I mean, there was some really vile things on that website, and, like, you had never seen anything like that before. So I 100% agree that, like, he definitely did start that genre. I'm so happy I was, not even that I'm relevant now, but I'm so happy I was not relevant in 2007 at all. I would have been scared shitless if I was a famous person in 2007.
100%.
With that website, forget it.
Well, he was the man that brought back Windows 95 Paint to popularity, and everyone loved him for that. I think what he's doing right now, he's definitely seen some celebrities like Jessica Simpson with Open Book, how much you can reveal in a book at the moment, how much attention you can get. So I think he feels like the time is right now. But I do love where he's like, I don't want any more shade, I don't want any more dirt. I'll never mention that time I hooked up with John Mayer, or, you know, I was involved in these other scandals. I think he's going to get himself in a little bit more trouble by doing this and revealing it in a book. But it works because we want to know all the dirt. We want to know what's going on behind the scenes.
Well, that was my question. So Perez says he wants forgiveness in doing this book. I mean, do you guys feel like this is the way to do it?
Not at all. But I think if you start to unpack how this website and how this man became and how it all works, you weren't a celebrity until you made it on Perez Hilton. So
Absolutely. Yes,
you hated being on Perez Hilton, but if you were, that meant that you were loved and adored. And the other thing is, which I don't know if he's actually gonna discuss in this book, but I know for a fact that a lot of celebrities, a lot of publicists, a lot of people in the industry were selling stories to him and giving their clients information to then up their guard. So I truly and honestly believe that as much as we should hate what Perez Hilton did, the industry used him and then turned their backs on him when he got a little too quote-unquote vile. But you guys loved it whenever you could give stories about your enemies, Lady Gaga.
Well, right. Well, that's the other thing. Like, I mean, when you read the whole, I mean, at least the research I read this morning, I mean, it does seem like he does genuinely regret a lot of things that he did or the way he went about things. So I definitely think he has a heart. I definitely think he's grown. Yes. People evolve. People make mistakes all the time. It's really about how what you learn from those mistakes and the person that you eventually become. So I definitely think that he's not proud of everything, but like he should be proud of creating that website. Of course, it wasn't like, you know, the most tasteful, respectful thing on the planet, but it was a huge phenomenon. I used to go on Perez Hilton at least every single, twice a day probably. So I agree, like he did a lot of good for celebrities and a lot of bad. And I think like at least it goes to show even with his relationship with Lady Gaga, I mean, he was good to his friends, right? Like I didn't realize they were best friends, but apparently they were. So
they were good.
They were good friends.
And he's going through this whole patch at the moment where he obviously is reinventing himself. The beginning of this year, he was on the Australian reality show called I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, which is like celebrities in the jungle, Big Brother style. So he's putting himself out there, trying to give himself a voice again. So the book could be his final sort of moment to get his voice, get his heard out there from the masses. And we might see a Perez Hilton 2.0 coming up, potentially, depending
on what's
in this book.
Exactly. All right. Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling are taking on Jessica Alba's accusations. Last week, Jessica claimed she was told not to make eye contact with the cast of Beverly Hills 90210 when she appeared on a couple of episodes. Now, in a teaser for their new 90210 Oh My God podcast, Jenny says she had all the scenes with Jessica but has a bad memory and doesn't recall that eye contact rule. Listen to this.
So I'm just wondering if there was some like cool memo that was like going around from the producers or the ADs and we didn't even know. Imagine we just thought like guest stars didn't like us. They never looked at us. We don't know why. We were so nice.
I only have from the vague memories I have of working with her. I only remember her being super talented. She was very young and she was really sweet and it does not surprise me that she's gone on to be so successful.
Okay, what do you think happened? Break it down for me. What do you think happened here?
I think there was a gay publicist that works with Tori Spelling that was like, listen, bitch, if you apologize for this, this is open territory for cancel culture. So what you are going to do is skirt around this situation, do not admit to anything, and do not in no instance say that, oh my God, we were teenagers, because Twitter will come for your ass. They played this right. They played this cool. And I'm here for it. I'm here that people are getting crafty.
Do you think they answered the question, though?
They shouldn't have answered the question. They shouldn't even brought it up at this point, okay?
Justin, I learned when I was 14 years of age, using the excuse, I don't remember, doesn't work in an argument. It isn't, or doesn't work in any sort of defense. You can't just say, I don't remember. Of course they remember what happens on that set. I think, this is a very bad way of saying, basically, well, right now, I think, like they've said, it did happen, but we've got nothing to do with it.
First of all, it works in Hollywood. Just so you know, I don't remember, or I can't recall, works in Hollywood, and it works in the court of law.
Right, I agree. You know what? It's also, they're very on trend, I will say that. I mean, Ellen has been accused of doing this years later, so you know what? We have it. We'll see what happens. All right, still ahead, J-Lo's daughter Emmy on Family, her new book, and the star who made her cry. Plus, Chris Harrison is dropping some bachelorette secrets. We can't wait. And up next, the celeb who's confessing they're still a virgin at 27. Don't go anywhere.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Harmony star Ali Brooke is saving herself for marriage. The 27-year-old made the confession in her new book, and when asked about it in an interview, Ali said, quote, I have had those moments where people would make fun of me or question me, like, yeah, right, but I just have to hold that in my heart and know my truth and kind of just let that be that. Are you guys surprised she admitted this? Would you admit this?
Look, I will say kudos, hats off to her, because her acting skills in those Fifth Harmony videos were damn good. Because
right.
I totally thought that that was not the case. I will say I am surprised that she admitted this, because in the music industry, it's always been sex sells, especially now at a time where you have people who are singing about more sexually charged music. And we saw WAP go to number one. We're looking at Megan Thee Stallion's rise to fame. So I am surprised that she, you know, is revealing this, but good for her.
Yeah.
I think she's defining her own lane right now. And if that's her life and she's defined it by that and lasted 27 years without sleeping with somebody, that's obviously very, very special to her. If I was going on a date with her, I would like to know beforehand if she was in that scenario, because I think it does change, and I think she'll find the right guy out there, because I probably wouldn't go on a date with a girl knowing at 27 years of age they
but
are
also,
a virgin.
But also, Scott, that accent is not saving you from that statement. How are you supposed to go? Are you supposed to get like a fax of like all of her details before, like 27 in a music group, doesn't have sex with people, and then you're like, I'm out? Like, how do you, that comes up on a first date?
Okay, well, if the person has put it out there into the world and I know about it, then that's one thing.
That's one thing.
Obviously, a very strong belief behind there, whether it's a religious belief, a family belief, to not want to sleep with someone at that age. And for me, in my life, I could have lasted till my 20s, but
well,
then
you've
I decided that was important
lasted,
before marrying somebody.
Scott, you've been away from your girlfriend for like almost a year now. You've lasted that long. How's that going for you?
Aren't we getting to that later in the show? Isn't that coming up soon? It's very tough. It's extremely
difficult. Let me ask you a question.
It's not easy.
Let me ask you a question. If you're asking Allie, are women in their 20s, you know, to disclose that they're virgins, are you asking women in their 20s to disclose their body counts? Are you saying, hey, if you slept with this many people, I can't date you? And if you haven't slept with anybody, I can't date you? Is there like a number in between? And are you asking people to disclose that?
No, I don't. Actually, I wouldn't mind if I went on a date with Ali and I found out during the date, but it's nice to know beforehand if that's where they are and where they sit. No, I don't want to know the people's body count, because everyone lies. I feel like guys lie, girls
that's
lie.
That's true.
Some people tell the truth, but everyone adjusts it slightly to make sure it fits the genre of that dinner or that date then and there.
And who really has an accurate count? I mean, give me a break. No one really knows. But also,
I don't remember.
It's like been so long. But also, my last, what if she was doing everything, you know, that doesn't, just because she's not sleeping with people doesn't mean she's not engaging in other things.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So that's what,
thank you.
Right? So
yeah, she's a really sweet girl. I've interviewed Ali. She's so sweet. I think this goes to prove there's someone out there for everybody. And I think there's a guy that might be in the same position as her or want that for their life. But for me personally, it's not for me.
Right. Okay. All right. Coming up, the world's highest paid actresses. Man, how did Sofia Vergara beat out Angelina Jolie, Gal Gadot, and everyone else? We're breaking down the money next.
Hi, I'm Mariah Carey, and you're watching E! Entertainment Television.
I'm in love. I'm alive.
Everything that's happening for me and that has happened for me is so great, and it's like I'm living my dream right now, and I can't complain about anything, and I can't really ask for anything else. I keep myself grounded in realizing that anybody can have success. Doesn't make you exceptionally talented. Doesn't mean that you have to be exceptionally talented or anything. And I just feel really fortunate that I was able to do this. You know what I mean? All I can be is Mariah Carey, the best Mariah Carey that I can be, the best songwriter that I can be, and the best singer that I can be. And that's who I am, and that's what I am. And hopefully, as I become, my music gets exposed to more people, people won't have to make any comparisons. They'll know me as me.
That is a young and surprisingly humble Mariah Carey back in 1991. It has been 30 years, you guys, since her debut as an artist. And to celebrate, Mariah is releasing 16 vinyl editions of her groundbreaking albums.
Mm-hmm. She's one of my earliest crushes. That was in that period of my life where I knew that I liked features in a woman, and Mariah Carey had those features, and my friends and I in primary school would talk about it on the sly. We're like, did you see Mariah Carey?
Wasn't the same for memories. Justin. Wasn't the same for Justin. Yeah, Justin was singing every song.
Jim Carrey, maybe.
All right, if you guys had to guess, well, yeah. I guess so. I guess that would make more sense than Mariah. It got weird. All right, if you had to guess who was the world's highest paid actress, how many of you guys would have guessed Sofia Vergara? Neither of you. Okay, according to Forbes, she made $43 million this year. Angelina Jolie came in second with $35.5 million, and Gal Gadot took third with $31 million. Melissa McCarthy and Meryl Streep round out the top five. I mean, were you guys surprised to see Sophia at number one? I was a little surprised, I have to say.
Not really. This is one of my favorite trivia questions because she was also at the top position last year as well. The list under her changes all the time depending on who has a big film or a big TV series that year. Obviously, it's been very tough for a lot of actresses in the last 12 months to release films. They don't get all that extra cash from the box office bonuses. But Sophia, she's like a Shaquille O'Neal when it comes to endorsement deals. She just has deals going left, right, and center on top of her very big deals from TV.
No, I totally agree with that. And I think it's because she started later on in life where the mentality is not, let's not overexpose you. The mentality is more like, let's strike while the iron is hot and let's get you this money while you're Gloria, while you're an AGT, and while your name is out there. So she's like, hey, you want me to put my name on some shampoo? Great. You want to put my name on some dog food? Find me a dog. I'll do it. She is doing all of these things and she's not trying to do the Beyonce of it all where she comes out and does one thing every 5 years.
Right, no, absolutely. $43 million later, she's not. She's securing that bag. Good for her. She looks amazing every time we see her. So, and that's a lot of work. All right, we're moving on. Ben Affleck's leading lady, Ana de Armas, is not loving her newfound fame, you guys. Ana's breakout role was in Knives Out, but between her romance with Ben, starring in the next new James Bond movie, and the Marilyn Monroe biopic, Blonde, she has reached a new level of celebrity. Justin's like, oh, whatever. She tells Flaunt magazine, it says, it's funny as an actor because you do what you do and you don't think of the consequences of your job. And then all of a sudden, you are in the spotlight and you realize, oh, this is not what I wanted. Fame to me is not the most exciting thing about my job. It has never been at all. It is just a consequence of my job. Justin, do you think that's true, honey? What do you think? Is your mic working?
First of all, I think she does kind of sort of have a point because no matter how fame adjacent you are, you don't really realize what fame is until it hits you in the face. So I think a lot of actors and singers always think, oh my God, I want fame, I want fame, I want fame. And then when it punches you, hits you in the kidney, you're like, oh, maybe not. But I think for everybody out there, and if you look at famous people and you do the psychology on people who like the spotlight, there is some trauma, there is something that they went through in their lives or something that they experienced that make them equipped to take this on. I don't have fame.
I'm on TV, I'm recognizable, but I can tell you that I like making people laugh and I enjoy this because that was my way of dealing with bullies back when I was a kid. So there's something in everybody's psyche that is famous that not only lets them do this, but lets them enjoy it.
I really like what you just said.
Before Justin, dance floors in a lot of clubs, I'm sure there's a lot of ladies out there that know you and want to dance with you and have drinks with you. All right, don't give us that.
But I think, Justin, I think what you said was totally accurate. I think that we're all kind of in that same boat where we're all recognizable. People know who we are. They might recognize us out at dinner, but it's not like we have that consistent fame. It's almost like we kind of get the best of both worlds where we are relevant in some small capacity. We have a job that we're grateful for. We can still go on about our personal lives every single day and not feel like we have to look good all the time because we're being hounded by the paparazzi. So I can understand if that were to be turned up a notch. That would be stressful and probably really hard to take. And I do agree with what she said, regardless of what people are thinking right now, rolling their eyes with their dog walking, you know, photos every day. But like, look, you want to be an actress. It's your craft. It's something you're passionate about. That's what you're focused on. You're not focused on, well, if I do this, I'm going to get, you know, cameras. It's not like they're reality stars. So I kind of, I'm feeling a little empathetic.
But if you're an actress or an actor, your art is to entertain. You want an audience to entertain. If you're working on a film, a stage production, whatever, you want people to see that. So I do disagree sometimes when they're like, I don't care at all about being famous or an audience. That's a lie, because they do need it and rely on it to become successful and get that feedback from an audience.
Good for you.
That's
for
true,
you
but there is a different level of, you know, hounding and having your personal life exposed. So I do think they care about the audience, but I think all of the rest of it that comes with it is overwhelming at times. Mm-hmm. I'm very nice this morning. All right, still ahead, the explosive new season of The Bachelorette. Does Claire really walk away? Does Tayshia take over? We're putting Chris Harrison in the hot seat. That's next.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
There's a wild new conspiracy theory in Hollywood that we have to talk about. I got wrapped up with it this morning, and it involves Justin Bieber, you guys. Okay, so Justin recently got a new neck tattoo, and fans are convinced it's a secret tribute to his ex, Selena Gomez. Cue the eye roll, I know. He got inked about a month ago, but a fan account just pointed out that there's an S in the middle of the rose. Okay, what do you guys think? First of all, do you see it, and is it a tribute to Selena? Well, you can see it even without the yellow little graphic, which I do appreciate.
It's obviously, it's a shape in a tattoo, but it's just such a fuss. A rose has many S's, has many different shapes in it. I feel it's a stretch. If you have an issue with your ex or you still have some feelings, go for a coffee. You're not gonna go out there and ink it up straight away. Pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Justin, what do you think about this? Tell us all.
Look, you know I love a good conspiracy theory. You know that's my jam. But I feel like anything this man does or anything she does, people will link it back to the two of them. And I feel really bad that Hailey Bieber has to wake up every morning after she has married this man, after she has been with this man for multiple years, to still wake up and have to deal with this Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez drama. It's like, give it a break. But I understand that she probably understands that this is her life, just like any man that dates Jennifer Aniston or any woman that dates Brad Pitt is always going to have to deal with the Jenna Aniston, Brad Pitt situation.
But even with that, like, Hailey and Justin are married. Selena Gomez, regardless of how long they dated for, you know, whatever, on and off, they were not married. Hailey and Justin are married. They are husband and wife. They are madly in love with one another. I agree with you 100%. It's like, let it go, you guys. Selena and Justin, they had their time. I know everybody was obsessed with them. It's over. I'm sure Hailey and Justin wake up in the morning and they're like, this again? Can we 100%. Just like move on? Like, we're in a life together. We don't need you to keep talking about it. So
not buying this kind one. Of, not buying at all. No, it's stupid. And they're newleds. They're so in love right now. Why would Justin yes. go and get that on his neck when his wife can see it every single day? Like, love the S and the rose.
Right.
That
also,
poor, that poor tattoo artist is probably in like witness protection right now.
Right. Oh, God. All right. We'll find out soon if the Bachelorette hype is as wild as we have been hearing. I feel like we've been talking about it for 3 months. Host Chris Harrison gave Carissa some private details about Claire Crawley's season 16 drama.
Let's get right to it. Are the rumors true? Does Claire walk away? Is Tayshia the new Bachelorette? Tell me.
Claire is the Bachelorette. I can definitively say Claire is the Bachelorette. This whole season is all about her finding love. Lord knows she waited long enough. I mean, she is our longest reigning Bachelorette ever. The poor thing, we were about to shoot. We were hours away when we hit the pause button for about 6 months, and then she had to go home and just think about being the Bachelorette. So we were bound and determined to make this happen for her, and so happy we finally did.
Can you confirm that Tayshia is at least part of the new season?
I don't know where these wild rumors come from. Just crazy. Claire is 100% the Bachelorette. What happens above and beyond that, everybody will have to wait and see what happens. I know there's lots of rumors out there in all seriousness, and I know everybody feels like they know how this plays out. You yeah. don't.
My question is, has she literally changed the way the show is going to be done from now on?
Congratulations, you've just blown up the Bachelorette.
You know, one of the great things, Carissa, about the show over the last several years is that we've really embraced everything that's happened. And in that moment, you know, someone asked me, did you mean to say that or did you know you? I had no idea. It's just something that came to mind as soon as she was telling me what we were talking about. And mm-hmm. the great thing about this season in particular is we were at the La Quinta Resort. We were obviously in quarantine because of the pandemic, but we weren't traveling. And so there is this kind of fishbowl environment, more like Bachelor in Paradise. There was no release. We didn't stop. So as a viewer, Bachelor Nation, you're going to get to see everything, every conversation, every decision that will dispel all rumors and really explain everything that's gone on, unlike we've never seen before on the show. I don't know if that will change the way we do things in the future, but there is something to the fact that we didn't travel as much. It really gave us a different element.
Were you able to come up with these over-the-top dates that we're like used to seeing, you know, on The Bachelor?
I will tell you this. We had to be really creative and really imaginative to reimagine the same space over and over again. So to a certain degree, no, we're not going to have the crazy over-the-top dates. It also allowed us to do a lot of different things that maybe are a little more intimate and more just about, you know, Claire finding love. And so to that end, it was good. Also, at the end of the day, Carissa, I wanted it to look like The Bachelorette. I didn't want it to look like, oh, they tried so hard. That's a cute COVID version of the show. That's not it. I want you to really escape and sit back and watch The Bachelorette, because Lord knows we all need to get away and escape right now.
So people were a little bit up in arms about the Mrs. Robinson-esque promo for this season. Now, was Claire a part of that decision? Was she happy with it?
Definitely not a part of the decision, nor was I. It's someone at ABC and someone does the, by the way, well done. I like the toolbox there. And by the way, how clever is that? No, these are just creative folks at ABC that figure out a poster, figure out a theme that comes out. I love the fact that it sparked debate. Claire didn't have any decision-making process in that, and B, I don't think she cared.
I do want to talk about Matt James, who's the first African-American bachelor, seemed to confirm on social he started shooting at the end of September. How is that going? Can you give us one spoiler?
Well, one spoiler is we have not started shooting. We are all making our way out there very soon to start shooting, and that will begin very shortly. But we also have to go through the protocol and, you know, and test our way in, just like we did with Claire's season of The Bachelorette. So that's what's taking place right now, is everybody's starting to head that direction.
Well, you have a partnership with Kelley Blue Book. Have you always been into cars?
You know, it's funny, kind of quite the opposite. And that's what's great about Kelley Blue Book, is when I was younger, you wouldn't buy a car without looking at the Kelley Blue Book value, because that would tell you exactly how much your car was worth, how much you needed to pay. And it's always been the gold standard my entire life. And now they've taken that to another level as far as auto repair. Go on KBB.com, you type in, you talk about what you need, then you can literally make an appointment at your dealership through there, get it all done. You're getting fair pricing. You get a deal on the price.
Chris, thank you. Always so good to see you. The Bachelorette returns Tuesday, October 13th on ABC. We'll see you soon, Chris. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Up next, J-Lo's daughter, Emmy, is sharing her plans for her mom's wedding, plus how she's making her own name in Hollywood. Trust me, you do not want to miss this interview next. Want to get Gwyneth Paltrow's amazing glow? I'm sure you do, but you don't know how you don't know the best way to put on facial oil or how to use exfoliator without hurting your skin. In today's Makeover Monday, Goop senior beauty editor Megan O'Neill is showing us how it's done with an at-home facial.
So you take your cleanser, and you can start with your hands in a V shape right under your chin, and just ease your way up. And then to wake up the eye area, you trace circles around your eyes. Like this. The key to glowy skin is exfoliating. You want that lifting effect, but you're also smoothing in the exfoliating scrub to gently stimulate circulation and smooth away any makeup and dead skin and debris and oil. Okay, you rinse it all off and then you want to moisturize. A few drops of face oil. It's concentrated, so you don't need much. Smooth it between your hands to warm it up, and then press it into your skin.
God. She's gorgeous. Wow, looks gorgeous. Easy when she does it, right? All right. Mm-hmm. Check out goop.com for more. All right, you guys, it is time for one of our cutest interviews ever. Justin, you had a chance to chat, with J-Lo's daughter, Emmy. Check it out. Tell us.
The fact that this little girl is 11 years old, I can barely tie my own shoes at 11, and she already wrote a book. Mm. And from what she told me, it sounds like she might be singing at her mom's wedding.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, I'm great. How are you?
Oh my God, how is Zoom school going? Is Max doing all of his homework, or do I need to get over there?
Okay, so this year I'm homeschooled. So a teacher comes over every day.
Nice.
And we don't have homework.
Oh my God, you're lucky.
Yes, extremely lucky.
Well, good that you don't have homework, because now you can focus on this amazing book, Lord Help Me. I have to ask you, how did you get the idea to write this book?
Okay, so when I was 7, me and my nanny Jess decided to go to the bookstore, and we bought a book kit, and we wrote this book. This is the original book that we first made. So it's like, I drew all of the pictures when I was 7, so they might not be that good, but.
I love them. I heard that you have a prayer about your brother Max, because sometimes he gets on your nerve. How often do you have to say that prayer?
Well, I say it every night, just. I say it every night because it's a ritual, I guess. So Max does get on my nerves sometimes, but he's a great brother. He's loud, but yeah, I love him. He's great.
Well, God answered your prayers, because I know you have 2 new sisters.
Yes, I do.
How fun is Tasha and Ella?
They're both great. They're amazing. They're fun. They're funny. They're always super nice and make me laugh all the time.
Oh. Well, I have to ask you, you went on that Super Bowl stage, you sang in front of millions of people. I would have literally froze up if I were you. Did you have to say a prayer right before you went out? Or did your mom give you any advice before you got on that stage?
Okay, so before every show, mom and everyone that's in the show, we always do a prayer. But on stage, it's a crazy experience. Like, I felt like I could do anything at that moment.
Wow.
It wasn't scary for some reason. It was like, I didn't.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I thought I would be terrified. Like, I was nervous before, but when I got on stage, it was just nothing.
Right?
Yeah.
Who do you wish Who are you praying to take the stage with next?
That's really hard. The first person that came to my head is Billie Eilish. I love her. Her music, amazing. She's also very, like, super nice. Great person. I met her once after a show, and I cried. I was, oh my God, it was insane.
I'm freaking out for you.
Yeah, and it was probably one of the best moments of my entire life.
Yes.
I would have to say that I also wrote my book in Spanish. Just in case, you know, people wanted to buy it in Spanish if it's easier for them to read. And obviously I also have the English version. Right here.
Oh my God, this is amazing. Are all your friends getting copies of Lord Help Me?
I hope.
Well, look, I'm gonna say a prayer tonight. All my prayers consist of me trying to get this dress out of your mom's closet. So if you can get this for me, I would love you for it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
No problem, thank you for having me.
Justine, yeah. Oh, so cute. She's so poised, I don't get it.
She is like literally the chillest person ever. She's like, yeah, you know, I wasn't nervous, you know, singing in front of 30 million people. I'm like, because the blood of two legends
literally
are running through your veins.
It's crazy. She's so cute.
Can you imagine going to bed every night and having J-Lo sing You Are My Sunshine? I wouldn't fall asleep. My mom had a terrible voice and that put me to sleep. But J-Lo's voice, I'd be like, keep going. Third verse, keep going.
Oh, my God. I was really impressed. I was like, me at 11 was not like that. All right, you guys, coming up, Sharon Stone's dating struggles and why there's suddenly a bunch of big stars who can't seem to find love. That's after the break. Sharon Stone may be a Hollywood icon, but she still can't seem to lock down a man, you guys. She tells Closer Weekly her dating life looks more like a comedy these days. And she even got kicked off the dating app Bumble last year because no one believed it was her. We've also heard from other actresses like Charlize Theron, Drew Barrymore, and Kathy Lee Gifford saying they have pretty non-existent dating lives. Okay, do you believe these beautiful, famous women when they say nobody will date them? I do, personally, but I want to hear what you guys think.
First of all, Sharon Stone is intimidating. Sharon Stone probably crosses her leg at a dinner for the first date just to remind people that she is Sharon Stone.
Amen.
But I also think women of that caliber, all the women that you named in this whole story, have dated some of the smartest, wealthiest, most like successful men.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they honestly have high expectations and they don't realize that they're putting that filter out there. They don't realize that they are putting out the energy that if you aren't going to be a JFK Jr. or Christian Slater or Keanu Reeves, don't step to this.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I reckon they wouldn't have a problem finding a date. I think it's consistently dating a guy. That's a different scenario and circumstance right there. If you were single, you'd happily go on one date with any of those ladies. It'd be a fun night. You don't know where the night would lead to. But I think actually locking one in and going, I want to start dating you, Sharon Stone would be, I don't know, she'd be challenging, intimidating, and I feel like a lot of guys out there wouldn't want that in their life.
Yeah.
Everyday average guys. And of course, as Justin said, they want to date high-profile guys that are very successful, that they can talk about stuff that they can relate to.
I think that's what it is. I think she needs to just find herself somebody who's equally as successful as she is in a different field. You got to get set up, Sharon. That's what needs to happen. Okay, up next, how Latin superstar J Balvin is taking over mainstream music. He's sharing a big announcement with us next. J Balvin is one of the best-selling Latin music artists, and he has a big announcement. Liliana Vasquez got all the details and also talked about his crossover into mainstream music.
Mi música los tiene fuerte bailando y se baila así.
I think what's amazing about what you've done is, you know, when you think of these people that paved the way, like Gloria Estefan, Ricky Martin, Shakira, they all had to do these crossover albums in English. You still haven't done that. You are able to, you know, make this happen in your native language, in Spanish. What do you think that says about El Poder Latino when it comes to music and this industry?
Yeah, that was always my dream, you know, and I respect the way they all did it, you know, like, they did crossover, you know, but I want people to come to my world. So now I'm good if I do something in English and I'll be like, I didn't make it for a strategy, I make it because I want it. You know, and it's different. Yeah. And it was really tough. It was way harder to do it in Spanish. And that's what I wanted to do it.
You look great, by the way, in rojo hoy.
Thank you. See, of course, you know, I gotta represent McDonald's all the way. Sorry, McDonald's.
So tell us a little bit about this, because we're excited to hear about the partnership. What is this all about?
I mean, this is really dope, you know, because I grew up with McDonald's since I was a kid. You know, I didn't have the chance to eat it because I was living in Colombia. And I remember the first time I went to the States, you know, when I went to the McDonald's, you know, like, it was just mind-blowing, you know, like, oh, let me get the big menu. Like, you already know the menu even before go to the place, you know.
Oh, that Chris McDonald's bag, I can't even handle it. It makes my mouth water. We'll have much more with J Balvin next week as we continue to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month. We have your first look, you guys, at Princess Diana's wedding gown in The Crown. Here she is, Emma Corrin, in the dress for season 4. Okay, look at them side by side. You see this image and literally spitting, right? They identical to one another.
You know what? You know, I've seen 200 Princess Diana specials. Trust me, I've seen them all. I don't know why this one makes me feel that William and Harry are gonna have a hard time watching this one.
Oh.
I think it's when somebody is reimagining your mother's life and they look so identical. For me, that would be hard. I don't know why.
I don't think anyone playing their mother will be easy for them to watch ever, because they will know all the mannerisms and be like, no, that was wrong, that was wrong. I know that people are very excited about this dress, Justin. Seeing this dress again. It is a beautiful dress.
Yeah.
Would you wear something similar? Is it your style?
I probably wouldn't go as poofy. I don't think that's correct for the time, but it's obviously one of the most iconic dresses of our time. So I'm excited. You guys, I'm obsessed with The Crown. You know that's like literally the only show I watch. So speaking of, The Crown returns to Netflix on November 15th. I cannot wait. Should we call it? Is this going to be the best season yet?
I thought season 2 was bomb.
Season 2, well, Margaret.
It depends if they get that scene with the massive super yacht and have her sitting there on the back, little
that's
thing,
later. No, that's... Scott, your timeline's wrong. They just got married. That comes years later. That's season 4.
She has to have kids. Yeah.
Yeah, no, Scott, you're messing up the flow. Okay, we're getting to people's thoughts now because you messed that up. All right, Kay said if she found out her date was a virgin, she would be polite, finish the date, but never call or text. I accidentally hooked up with a virgin once and it was the worst. Julie, Jesus, damn. Julie disagrees. She says that would not scare me off at all. They're saving themselves for Mr. or Mrs. Right. Okay. And Corey says she would never get a tattoo of an ex. She says if you do, you're obviously not over them.
Well,
all right, I agree. But I don't think it was about
relationship.
That.
Relationship.
Never tattoo your ex.
Don't do it. You guys, that's it for us today. Tomorrow, Kim Zolciak-Bierman is here to spill all the tea about the high swims and the new season of Don't Be Tardy. We will see you guys tomorrow. Thanks so much. Bye.